says, I want you to release this on the 29th, which is today, of December for the new year. Praise the Lord. So I'm going to share some things that the Lord put on my heart. I wasn't even asking for it, but he put some things on my heart about this particular thing. But let's just come in agreement together. Father, we thank you so much for the plans and the purposes that you have for 2025. And we are certainly grateful and thankful that you sustained us and provided for us and took care of us all this past year in 2024. We don't take advantage of that, Father God. We just thank you for watching over us, keeping us, providing for us. And we thank you, Lord, that this year, as we enter into in just a couple of days to this new year, Lord, there's going to be an increase of your glory. There's going to be an increase of your grace. And there'll be an increase of the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for helping me to communicate what's on your heart today, Father. Thank you for giving us utterance in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all that agreed said, amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll start up by saying it like this. On Wednesday, December the 4th, which was a Wednesday, December the 4th, at 4:31 a.m., I wrote it, the only reason I know it because I wrote it down, that's when he spoke it to me. On Wednesday, December 4th, at 4:31 a.m., the Lord spoke to my spirit. I don't mean I heard him in an audible voice, I didn't, but I heard him in my spirit, amen. Jesus even talked about how if any man have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, amen? So the Holy Spirit's talking to us, amen? Now, I wasn't asking God for a revelation. I wasn't asking him for anything particular, but he spoke to me. I woke up, you know, at 4:30. I was wide awake, you know, and a lot of times when you are, you know, when you at that twilight or whatever you call it, when you first wake up in the morning, do you ever notice how you can hear more clearly what the Holy Spirit's saying? Because you don't have all the clutter and stuff going on, you know? And the Lord said this to my spirit, and I'll give it to you exactly how he gave it to me, and then we'll kind of expound on it today. Praise the Lord. He said this, and like I said, I heard this in my spirit, praise the Lord, loud and clear. He said, the glory days are coming in 2025. That's what he said, the glory days are coming in 2025. Then he went on to say, the glory of God is always a manifestation of his goodness. He then instructed me, which he's wanted me to communicate that here, he instructed me to declare it every day in the year of 2025. In fact, we don't have to wait for the page to turn, for the calendar to turn. We can start to declare it right away. And I thought, this is interesting, you know, because, I mean, I've heard a lot of sermons through the years about the glory of God, the manifestation of God, you know, and we think of the pillary cloud, you know what I mean? But what was the Lord was showing me was this. He said, when you see my glory and you experience my glory, he said, it will always be a manifestation of my goodness. And I'll clarify that today from some scripture that we're going to read here. Amen. The reason the Lord wanted me to share this was not just for myself personally, although that's included, but he wanted me to share this to the body of Christ, amen, to this body here and those that are listening this morning, amen? Praise God. And I'll read it to you again. He said exactly, verbatim, he said, the glory days are coming in 2025, and then he said, the glory of God is always a manifestation of his goodness. He then instructed me to declare every day this coming year of 2025. Now, let me just reiterate something that the Lord spoke to me two Novembers ago. Not this past November, but the November before that. And you might recall the Lord said this. He said, 2024 will be a year of wholeness and completeness. Okay? Now, I got to thinking about that, and the Lord, you know, emphasized this to me. He said, Keith, that was just the beginning. He said, there's going to be a crossover. It's going to go over into the new year. It does, just because the 2024 December 31st comes, he goes, it doesn't stop there. He said, it crosses over. It's going to be ongoing. It lives, okay? So just know that 2024 was to be a year of wholeness and completeness. And if we look back, there were some things the Lord made whole in our lives. Amen. But He's not finished yet. He's not finished yet. And until you're 100% healed, He's not finished yet. Amen. Until you're 100% delivered, He's not finished yet. Amen. Until you're 100% whole in your financial affairs, He's not finished yet. And so He began to show me that this year, particularly this year, is going to be a year of the glory of God and the manifestation of the glory of God. And we'll talk about that. Now, if you have open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 30, and what we're going to do is I'm going to look at a scripture here, and I like to call this the law of first mention. Every time there's a word in the Bible, there's a first time that it's mentioned. You know, for example, you know that in Genesis chapter 5, the word grace is used for the first time, that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Well, that's the first time that word was ever used in the Bible. That's the law of first mention. Now, the word for glory is used here, and we're going to look at Genesis, and this is regarding Jacob, who became Israel, okay? In Genesis chapter 30 and verse 43, are you there? It says, "And this man," that's Jacob, "increased exceedingly and had much cattle, maidservants, men servants, camels, and donkeys," okay? Now, I want you to notice that God increased this man, Jacob, who became Israel. He increased exceedingly, it says. Not just a little dip, little dibbity-dab. Amen? It says he exceeding had much cattle, maidservants, men servants, camels, donkeys, right? Now, I did some research. And back in those Bible days, if you had donkeys, that was considered the Cadillac of the day. Remember, Jesus rode on a what? A donkey that had never been ridden before, okay? And you might say it was a virgin donkey. It was never ridden before. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus laid in a tomb that was a virgin tomb that was no man was ever laid there before, okay? And but notice right here that this Jacob was exceedingly great and had wealth of cattle and maidservants, men servants, camels and donkeys, right? Now jump over to the next page, chapter 31. And we'll look and see where this word is used, glory, for the very first time. And let's see, what exactly is he talking about glory here? Okay? So chapter 31 of Genesis, chapter 31, verse 1 says, "And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's," Laban's, "and of that which is our father's hath gotten," notice this, "all this glory." That means stuff. Right? Jacob got all this glory. In verse 2 it says, "And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and behold, it was not towards him as before." In other words, he was pretty upset. Okay? You know, the word Jacob means deceiver. Did you know that? It's amazing how God doesn't use perfect vessels, Jacob was a deceiver, right? Yeah. And Abraham lied about his wife, and so forth. But God still called them. God still used them. He didn't stop using them. Amen. But I want you to notice that the word glory is here in this particular verse here is used in connection with physical substance. Okay? Now, we refer to the kabod, the glory of God, the Shekinah glory of God. That is the glory of God when it shows up in a cloud form and so forth. I've seen that cloud a few times in my life, and there's degrees of that. And now I've never seen where it's so thick you can't see in front of you. Yet I know people and ministers and services where that took place. I didn't see it, okay? However, I have seen the glory of God in a mist, a light mist. I can still see people, but I can see a mist, okay? I've seen it many, many, many times in our services, okay? It always seemed to would take place when I would step out in the gifts of the Spirit. That's when it would seem to manifest. I don't know why. But I would be prophesying, I'd be speaking in tongues, interpreting, or saying something that the Lord wanted me to say. And I'd open my eyes and I'd see this mist all over the room. Okay? A light mist. I could still see you, but I saw this mist. And then as I kept talking, it just lifted. Okay? But we're not talking about that type of glory here, although that's part of it. Okay? That when God said that the glory days are coming in 2025, He is specifically, I believe, talking about Him manifesting Himself in the natural realm. Okay? When Jesus in John chapter 1 became flesh and dwelt among us, it says we beheld His glory. Well, how could we behold His glory? He became flesh. So in other words, the Word, Spirit, became flesh and dwelt among us. All right? And then you could see the manifestation of the glory of God. Matter of fact, every time God does something, whether it's a provisional need, whether it's a healing in a physical body, you can read this through the Scriptures, you'll see that that is always a manifestation of the glory of God. And we'll look at a couple of Scriptures here this morning. When God shows up and you receive, how many of you ever receive answer to prayer before? That's actually a manifestation of the glory of God. Now let's go over to Exodus chapter 33 and let's look at a particular incident here that's familiar to all of us. And if you've seen the Ten Commandments, you know exactly what I'm talking about. You'll think you're reading about Charlton Heston right here, but it's actually Moses. Okay? Praise the Lord. I can't even tell you how many times I've seen that movie through the years. I quit counting, but it's been a lot. And we always tend to go back to it around Easter time. We go back and we'll watch that. And then also Ben-Hur. How many of you like ever seen Ben-Hur before? That is a tremendous anointed movie. I mean, especially Ben-Hur. I mean, I'm telling you, that movie was so inspiring. Praise the Lord. About Jesus that's interwoven in that story. Praise God. Now let's look at Exodus chapter 33 and let's pick up in verse number 11. Let's read down through here together. It said, "The Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again in the camp to his, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, the young man departed not out of the tabernacle." Verse 12, "And Moses said unto the Lord, See, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me known whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, verse 13, I pray thee, I have found grace in thy sight. Show me thy way, that I might know thee." Moses is asking the Lord this, "that I might find grace in your sight, and consider this nation is thy people." Now notice verse 14. The Lord said this. He said, "My presence shall go with thee." This is what God said to Moses. "My presence shall go with you. And I will give you rest." Notice the connection between God's presence and God's rest. Amen. How many of you know there remains a rest for the people of God? Now just stay with me. I'm kind of building a foundation here this morning on this, and then we'll expand a little bit more here. But you know, in my own life, when I sense the presence of God, when I sense His presence is with me, then I have peace and I have rest. Amen. Amen? Almost every single night when I lay down, I look forward to going to bed. I do. I look forward to laying down because you know why? I have communion with the Lord during the night. Amen. I talk to Him. He talks to me. I wake up in the middle of the night. He's still right there. Praise the Lord. And I'm refreshed when I hear from Him. Now, a lot of times people don't think that God really is that interested in talking to them. A lot of Christians don't believe that God wants to speak to you. They think, oh yeah, God can speak through another person and speak to me. That's true. He can. But listen, you're God's child. If you're born again, you have God's Spirit on the inside of you. You better believe you're going to hear from Him. Amen. Now the key is to recognize His voice when He's talking to you, because a lot of times we brush it off. We think, oh, that just seems so subtle. Is that just me making that up? Well, no. Because the Lord is a Spirit, but He has a voice. He's a person. The Holy Spirit's a person. And He has a voice. That's what Jesus said, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. In other words, you could brush it off. But I'll tell you, we can develop, listen to me, we can develop a stronger confidence that God is with us all the time. He'll give us rest and peace. You know, when we're all under turmoil and we're worried about things and we're fretting, it's hard to hear God. But when we know He's there, amen. I mean, sometimes I'll just wake up in the middle of the night and I'll just sense God's presence. He's right there watching over me. No words have to be spoken, but I know He's there. So I'm like, I can lay over and go right back to sleep. Amen? Because God's with me. Now, God says right here, He says in verse 14, He says, my presence will go with you, Moses. He says, and I'll give you rest. Amen? You can even be working but still be at rest. You can still be on the job, so to speak, and be at rest because you know God is taking care of you. Are you with me now? Now, look at verse 15. And he said unto him, Moses is now talking to the Lord. He said unto him, if your presence go not with me, carry us not up from hence. Now, that's pretty significant right there. In other words, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with me, I'm not moving, I'm not budging. Isn't that good? Moses had a dependency on the Lord. Now, he knew his inadequacies. He knew that he had a speech impediment, you know. He stuttered. That's why he tried to convince God to use my brother instead, Aaron. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, but Moses was... You might say he was inferior, he was insecure in some areas in his life, but yet God still used him. Amen? So you don't have to be Mr. or Mrs. Eloquent for God to use you. God is looking for people that are just dependent on Him. The greatest place of strength for me and for you is when we're utterly dependent upon the Lord for every situation. Praise God. Amen? See, the people in the world that depend on themselves and depend on their own resources and everything, you know, they can come up short real quick because they're not Al Shaddai. There's only one Al Shaddai, the God that's more than enough. Amen? So that when we come to this place, we can learn a lot from Moses. He said, Lord, I'm not going to move from this spot here. I'm not going to budge. I'm not going to take one step unless you go with me. Amen? He goes, if your presence doesn't go with me, carry us not up from this place. We're not going to budge. We're not going to move. Praise the Lord. And so, look at verse 16. He says, for wherein shall it be known here that thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that you go with us? So shall we be separated in thy people from the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name. Do you know the Lord knows you by name? When the Lord talks to you, He didn't say, can you please refresh me? What is your name? Never happens. Amen? Now, I've had the Lord talk to me and say, Keith. He never said, hey, Pete, or hey, Joe. Now, those are adequate names, right, for other people. But He's going to call me by my name. God says, I'll call you by your name. Amen? And notice it says right here, verse 17, the Lord said to Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken, and you have found grace in my sight, and now I know thee by name. And verse 18, He said, I beseech thee, Moses said, show me thy glory. He says, Lord, I got to see your glory. Got to see it. Tired of looking at a cloud, I want to see the real deal. Right? And it says in verse 19, and the Lord said, I will make, notice this, all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and show mercy upon whom I will show mercy. Now, I want you to see it in particular, verses 18. He says, show me your glory. But then the Lord responded to him and said, I'm going to make all my goodness pass before you. the connection, notice the connection between show me your glory and seeing God's goodness. Right? So anytime you see God in action, when you see Jesus in action, you see God's goodness. Jesus went about doing what? Good. What was he doing? Healing. That was a manifestation of the glory of God. Praise the Lord. And I believe with all of my heart. Now look at verse 21. It says, "And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass that while my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face you shall not be seen." All right? Now, we'll stop right here, but I wanted to bring out, in particular, verses 18 and 19, where Moses said, "Show me your glory, Lord. I just want to see your glory." And then the Lord said, Jehovah said, he said, "I will cause my goodness to pass before you." Praise God. Do you remember in the book of Acts how that after the resurrection of Jesus that you have the disciples, you know, that are picking up the great commission from the Lord, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And you'll notice that in one instance where it was just Peter's shadow that fell on people that needed healing, not even himself, but actually his shadow. And it says, you know, whoever got within, distance of his shadow, they were healed. What is that? That's a manifestation of the goodness of God and the glory of God. Are you with me? So God says, "I'm going to pass before you." He goes, "I'm going to show you my goodness." He said, "No, show me your glory." He says, "No, you'll see my goodness." So I want to just establish this fact this morning that when we have a manifestation of God's glory, we're going to see his goodness as well. Amen. Do you know the Lord loves to do good things for his children? Do you know that? Well, give me a chapter and verse. I'd be happy to. The scripture says, Jesus said, "If you being evil," that means natural, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more?" Say, "How much more?" "How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to those that ask him?" I want to challenge you this morning, and I say this because the Lord did it to me, and I began to do it. He said, "Keith, I'm a good father." Glenn was referring to this morning about God being a good God, but, you know, our heavenly Father is not like any earthly father. As good of a father that we might have, as best as we have in the natural, they're pale in comparison to our heavenly Father. Jesus came to introduce the Father and his family. Israel knew him as God, but Jesus said, "I'm going to introduce to you the Father." He said, "Our Father, which art in heaven." He's introducing a new understanding of God as being Father. Israel didn't know that. They knew him as Jehovah. They knew him as God, but they didn't know him as Father. Amen? So Jesus said, if you being natural parents know how to give good things to your children, right? How much more will your Father give good things? Notice this, to those that what? Ask him. So that must mean we have to get busy asking. Now I'll give you a case in point what I'm talking about here. This is how I do it. I'll just repeat exactly to the Lord what I just quoted you. "Father, you said if I'm natural, which I am, if I know how to give good gifts to my kids, you know how much more will your Father give those that good things to those that ask him? I'm asking you today, Father." And I do it. Now, I'm sure there's been a few days that I've missed, not on purpose. But I'll get up and I'll pray that exact way. And I'll say, and I noticed a pattern. That when I begin to ask that, "Father, I ask you to do good things for us today, for me, Lynn, Josh, Kelly." Amen. And I ask in Jesus' name, "And to you be all the glory." I'm not just wanting. I want God to do something so that he gets the glory for what he just did. Amen. Isn't that amazing how God gives you a gift to use in the earth, but then all the glory goes back to Him because He gave you the gift to operate in the earth, so that's why we lay our crowns at His feet. Amen? Because the gifts that we have in this life didn't come from us anyway. They came from God. But we're stewards of His grace, of His gifts, right? And so every single time God will do something, I'm like, thank you, Lord. That's you. I thank you for that right now. And I noticed, Lynn and I have had conversations about this, every single time I ask the Lord to do that, hardly a day goes by that something unusual happens, something out of the ordinary happens. And it could be anything. But I was like, whoa, that was the favor of God right there. That was a provisional need. That was met right there, you know? Any number of things. Received healing. Manifestation came. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. So I just implore you and admonish you to begin to, and it's not selfishness at all. It's just walking in your covenant that you have with your Father. Father, I'm asking you to do something wonderful for my children today. That's part of you. That's part of your flesh. Amen? He blessed your sons and your daughters. Father, I'm asking you to do something good. Now, they, you know, regardless of whether they're serving God or not, they're still your flesh. That's your seed. They may not even be serving God right now. That's all subject to change. But you say, Heavenly Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. I'm asking you to do something good for my children today. Let them see your glory. Let them see your goodness and expect Him to do it. See, we need to have a godly expectation. David even said in the book of Psalms, he goes, my expectation comes from the Lord. You can have an ungodly expectation of something bad happening, the next shoe dropping, as they say, right? Where you're expecting bad things to happen. No. We want to expect good things. Surely goodness and mercy will follow us half the days of our life. All the days of our life. Are you with me now? Now let me just quote this because of time. But in John chapter 2, just turn there, Josh. John chapter 2, verse 11. This is in the Gospel of John. He talks about his first, second, and third miracle in order, what he did. And the first miracle that Jesus did was a miracle of provision, turning water into wine. Now, I'm not going to get into the details of whether it was alcoholic or not, okay? I have my own opinions about that, you know what I'm saying? But notice it says right here in John chapter 2, verse 11 says, this beginning of miracles which Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His what? His glory. And the disciples believed on Him. Well, when you turn water into wine and you're feeding a bunch of people or, you know, at a wedding, that's an absolute miracle. Now, He had them fill up the water pots with water, okay? And so it was a liquid substance, but then Jesus supernaturally turned that, the Father through Him, turned the water into wine. But notice the phrase right there that when He did this miracle, this first miracle, it said He manifested forth His what? His glory. Well, in this sense, the glory was a provisional need, but the glory was there. So I want us to get out of the mindset that just the glory is just spiritual stuff. That's part of it. It's not just spiritual. It's not just a cloud. It's a manifestation in the earth. The Word became flesh. What good's the Word going to do if He just stayed in heaven? He became flesh. He became natural. He took upon Himself a flesh like you and me. Praise the Lord. And so when the Lord shows up and the glory of God shows up, I'm telling you, some mighty things are going to happen. Whew, man, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now again, I'm just going to refer to this. The Lord spoke this to me on December the 4th. He said, the glory days are coming in 2025. The glory of God is always a manifestation of His goodness. He instructed me to declare it every day this coming year and expect the glory. Now let's talk about this as we begin. How do we declare this? How are we going to see this thing? You know, sometimes when the Lord speaks to us, we think it's just an automatic thing that it's just going to just come. But the Lord says, no, I've given you a, here's your part. Your part is to declare it, speak it. And when I speak it, I'll take your words and I'll bring that to pass in your life. Amen? Now, I'm just going to refer to this, but in John chapter 11, you know the story about Lazarus being raised from the dead, been dead for 4 days. Martha and Mary were his sisters. And they said, Lord, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died, you know? And, and they began to talk to Jesus, have a conversation with him. The sister of Lazarus said, well, I know he's going to be raised up on the last day. She's putting it off in the future, you know what I'm saying? In the sweet by and by. But Jesus got them right in the now, and he said in John 11:40, he said, did not I say unto you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? See, Martha and Mary were thinking future. Yeah, in the resurrection, in the future, yes, he'll be glorified, he'll be resurrected, you know. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. We're talking about right now. But he said this, he said, did not I say unto you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Well, what happened? Lazarus popped out of the tomb. His sisters even said, Lord, by now he stinketh. Right? He's been dead for 4 days. You know, we don't want to get close to that tomb. He goes, roll the rock away. You know, Jesus, God did the hard part. Then he said, go loose him and let him go. Because he was wrapped in grave clothes, right? But they had the disciples remove the stone. That was their job. And then once he was raised from the dead, I believe God supernaturally brought him up forth out there. They had to go loose him, unwrap him. Okay? But Jesus' statement is interesting because he says, didn't I say to you, Martha and Mary, that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? What was the glory here? Raised from the dead. So we see a physical manifestation of someone being raised from the dead that had been dead for 4 days. Nothing short of a miracle. Amen? Boy, that made the religious leaders mad. I'm telling you, made the Pharisees mad. They tried to kill him again, you know, because they saw this is going to get out. Word got out, and sure enough, it did. But I want you to see that Lazarus being raised from the dead is a manifestation of the glory of God. Raised from the dead. Hallelujah. That's physical, isn't it? That's physical. So the glory of God is a manifestation of the goodness of God, which occurs in the natural realm. Praise God. I can see in my spirit. Now, I can't pinpoint everything and every detail, but I see glimpses in my spirit of what God is going to do in 2025. And I'm telling you what, it's going to exceed our expectations. Now, I can't really pinpoint exactly. You know, we know in part, we prophesy in part. I don't know everything, but I know some things, just like you do. And all I know is this, that 2025 is going to be a manifestations of the glory of God for the believers starting here. Amen. Praise God. Now, I don't know what's going to happen elsewhere with other people, but I know that I'm responsible for us and our congregation, the things that I share here, and I'm responsible for my own life as well. But when God says, I want you to, you know, when he said that the 2025, he said these are going to be the days of glory, then he instructed me to declare it every day. So there has to be a connection between receiving manifestations of the glory and decreeing and declaring these things. Now, it's interesting because it doesn't take very long to do that. Amen? I mean, it just takes a couple of seconds. I declare and I decree the glory of God to be made manifest in my life and my family and my children. Glory to God. I'm telling you, God wants to bless your whole family. All of them. I'm telling you, he wants to bless your sons and your daughters. Praise God, your grandkids, whatever. Oh, my goodness. He is just looking for someone that's going to declare. Now, let's go real quick here. We saw this last week when we talked about in our Christmas service, but let's look at something here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. We'll not read the whole thing. We're just going to read a couple of verses here as we finish up here today. Praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. He's the Father of glory. That's what the Scripture says. Well, we know the situation here about Mary, who became the mother of Jesus, the Savior. And let's pick up in verse 30. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Remember, we read this last week. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. His name shall be called Jesus," or Yeshua. His root name is Joshua. That's where Jesus came from. "He shall be great." Now, he's not in the earth yet. He is yet to become flesh. He's prophesying. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob," or Israel, "forever. In his kingdom there shall be no end." Now, this is a prophetic word from Gabriel about the future, near future, within the year, of what's going to happen when Jesus comes to the earth. Okay? Now look at verse 34. "And Mary said to the angel, how shall this be?" Now, Mary's engaged at this point. She's not married yet. She's engaged to Joseph. So God had to do a work on Joseph too, because he was probably thinking, she's cheating on me, right? What are you going to think, right? This hasn't happened. This virgin birth situation never happened before, right? It said, then Mary said to the angel, verse 34, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" Now, we brought out the fact last week. This is a valid question. You know, you can't have children without a man and a woman coming together. Right? But yet the angel said, you're going to have a child, but it's not going to come through a man. All right? And the angel answered and said unto her, unto Mary, here's the answer to her question. She had a question. How is this going to come to pass? How am I going to conceive? How am I going to become pregnant not knowing a man? The angel, verse 35, answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost." Say, "The Holy Ghost." Say, "The Holy Ghost." My goodness, the Holy Ghost is always the answer. How is this going to happen? How's this going to take place? How's that situation going to change in my family? Holy Ghost. When the Holy Ghost invades our family, boy, it's a good thing, isn't it? When he invades your life, it's a good thing. When he invades your body, it's a good thing. Matter of fact, the Bible says you're bought with a price. Your body belongs to God. It's not just your body. It belongs to God. He's going to take care of his body. He's going to make sure that you're going to get on the health track, the right track. Amen? And he says right here, "The angel answered and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that thing which is shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." And the angel, and behold, your cousin Elizabeth. Amen? I always think of Sanford and Son. He goes, "Elizabeth!" Remember that show? You don't remember that? Every time he get in a tight spot, think he's having a heart attack or something, he goes, "Elizabeth, I'm coming home." That's terrible, isn't it? That's Archie Bunker. Those were the days, right? "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth shall be hath conceived in her old age." This was a promise too. "And this is the sixth month with her." Notice this, who was called barren. How'd you like to have that nickname? "Hey, barren, how you doing?" You know, making light of the fact she couldn't have kids. Well, she did in her old age, supernaturally. Notice verse 37. "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Notice that. "With God nothing shall be impossible." "And Mary said, behold," that means looky here, "the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now, why did the angel depart from her? Because mission accomplished. This is actually when she conceived. Now, let me just refer once again. I'm not trying to be repetitive. Here's what the Spirit of God spoke to me. December the 4th at 4:31 a.m., He said, "The glory days are coming in 2025. The glory of God is always a manifestation of His goodness." And then He instructed me to declare it every day this coming year in 2025. Now, I'm not waiting. I've already started. I'm getting a jump on this thing. Praise the Lord. And like I said, the glory of God is always a manifestation of God's goodness. But notice that what the Lord said, He said, "I want you to decree this. I want you to declare this." Now, matter of fact, you'll see in the Old Testament, when you have the prophets of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, major prophets, they, in order for something to come to pass, they had to speak it first. Now, I don't know who came up with the phrase, but I think it's absolutely anointed of God. You know, the word was spoken that it might be written, and then it was written that it might be spoken. Do you get that? The word was initially spoken that it might be written. Scribes and write it down, right? So we have it on paper, but it was written so that it might be spoken. So it came from heaven to the earth. Now we take what's in the earth and return it back. We complete the circle. You see that? And so the Lord showed me, He said, "Now, Keith, you have to declare this. I want you to start decreeing this and declaring this." See, if the Lord can't move our mouth, He can't move our mountain. That's right. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. If the Lord can't move our mouth, if we don't move our mouth, the mountain can't be removed. I had the Lord say this to me a couple weeks ago. He said, if your mouth saved you, your mouth can prosper you. If your mouth saved you, your mouth can heal you. It's the same process. Same mouth. Same process. Speaking words. Delivering words. I think one of the greatest areas that we are tempted to hold back a little bit, give up, not press in, is when it comes to saying what God says. And I mean pouring it on. Pouring it on. Talk to the mountain. Jesus said, "Speak to the mountain." Don't pray about it. He didn't say pray to the mountain. He said, "You speak to it." There's some things that need to be prayed about. Other things, they just need to be talked to. We just need to get our mouths busy and say, "No, you don't. You are not coming to my house. You sickness and disease, you don't belong in my house. You're under the curse. You don't belong in my body. Pain, you have no place in my body." What do you do if you still have pain? You keep talking. I know Dan, he shared some time ago, a few times, about that situation with his son that had a skin issue, you know, and that he saw a good percentage of it take place. Tremendous testimony, tremendous, about his son. But then there was a little spot left on his son's leg, and he was asking the Lord about it, if my memory serves me correct. He said, "Lord, why is that spot?" He said, "You quit talking to it." Am I right? So he started talking to it, and guess what? It left. Amen? Jesus talked to trees. Jesus talked to storms. Jesus talked to physical limbs. He talked to dead bodies. And if He's doing that, that's what we should be doing. We're on good territory if we're doing that. That's a, you see, God gave us a mouth for a couple of reasons. Number one, to eat. That's not the most important thing. Boy, you can't survive without it. You eat with your mouth. You don't eat with your nose or your ears. Your mouth has a purpose, right? Number one purpose for your mouth is to digest food. It goes through your mouth, right? Secondly, He gave you a mouth to communicate with one another. But as you move on, He gave you a mouth to speak to demons and devils and circumstances to change those things that are before you. Amen? I mean, the Lord began to challenge me because there's some things I want to see changed. You know? There's some things that disturb me. And the Lord was like, He was like reminding me, He says, "Keith, you're not talking to that like you should." He didn't condemn me. He just said, "Get busy. Open your mouth. Start talking to that thing." No, it's not going to stay. and be persistent. We just have to be more persistent than the devil. The devil is a persistent cuss. That's one thing. He's persistent. He'll try to, you know, try to do his thing, you know. But we have to out-persist him. And this is the year, this is the time for us to do that. Amen. Let me tell you something. I'm preaching to myself too. Like every preacher, we have to live what we preach to. It doesn't just come on us automatically. But why do we stop talking? Oh, Lord, please do something about this. No, he says, no, open your mouth. You speak to that. You speak to that mountain. You speak to that sickness. You speak to that lack. You speak to that situation. You tell it to go. Be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea, and it will obey you. Didn't it say it'll obey God? It said it'll obey you. Right? Right leg, I speak to you. I hypothetically... I command this pain to go in the name of Jesus. You get out of here in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, what do you do if the pain is still there? You say it again. You say it the next day. You don't change what you're saying. You decree it. You declare it. The Bible even says, thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you, and the light shall shine upon your ways and your path. Wow, I feel God's presence this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord. So he said 2025 will be a year of the glory of God manifested in our lives, in our families, in every area of our lives. And with the manifestation of his glory comes his goodness. When Jesus healed people, that was a manifestation of his glory. When he raised Lazarus from the dead, it was a manifestation of his glory. When Jesus fed the 5,000, it said there his glory was manifested. How was it manifested? Food provision. In the middle of nowhere. Feed the 5,000. That had to be supernatural. Amen? And so we have to declare. Let's wrap this up this morning. Now notice that referring back to Mary, and the angel Gabriel had said these things, you're going to have a son, the highest, you know, the most high, and so forth and so on. And she made this statement in verse 38. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. So in other words, she not just heard what the angel said. She says, I'm going to receive that. And I said, whatever you said, let it be. Be it unto me according to thy word. And Gabriel says, see ya. He disappeared. Well, what happened? She conceived. She was pregnant. But it wasn't through Joseph. It was the incorruptible seed from heaven. You see, like we said last week, Jesus had to be born of a virgin because the bloodline is passed down through the Father, always, 100%. It doesn't come from the mother, it comes from the Father. And Adam's, because of Adam's sin, man's blood was tainted throughout the whole world. That's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin. He had all of Mary's physical characteristics, but God was his father. Now we know that later, you know, after Jesus was born, and Joseph and Mary came together, and Jesus had, there were 7 brothers and sisters. Okay? 4 brothers and 2 sisters. Plus Jesus. So there are 7 of them. Okay? But initially, the miracle took place. She said, okay, I hear what you're saying, but she said, be it unto me. I receive that. And immediately she received. But yet, you can't see anything yet. There's no baby crying. There's no bump on her stomach yet. But every day starts to develop. Every day. The conception took place. 9 months later, here comes baby Jesus. The Savior was born into the earth. The Word became flesh. Amen. Now, we give due respect to Mary. But Jesus, Mary even, I said this last week, Mary referred to Jesus as her Savior. She wasn't sinless. She needed a Savior like everybody else. She says, my Lord, my Savior. right, in the Gospel of Luke. But she received her miracle when she said, okay, she opened up her mouth. She says, be it unto me according to thy word. Now let's go over here to 1 Peter chapter 1 real quick. Two more scriptures and we'll close here today. 1 Peter 1:9 Praise the Lord. I wrote down here, we must speak what God says in order to plant the incorruptible seed for it to bring forth fruit. If, you know, the fact of the matter is a person can believe in God but still die and go to hell. The Bible says the devils believe in God and they tremble, but they're not going to heaven. Right? The Bible says if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. So you got the heart and the mouth. That's the way faith works. For everything. For everything. You believe it and you say it. Like Paul says, I believed, therefore have I spoken. We believe, therefore we speak. 2 Corinthians 4:13. Wow. I feel like I'm on that sweet spot this morning. You know, we used to play baseball. There was this, on a baseball bat, you had a thing called the sweet spot, called the meat of the bat. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The guys will. And when you, that's right, you guys. And you hit, when you hit the meat of the bat, that part of it, you hardly even, it's so perfect. It's like the perfect spot for it to hit, and that ball will just take off. Okay? Now, if you hit it in the wrong place, man, you're going to have vibration like crazy on your hand. Do you ever have that happen? It's like, oh, you know what I'm saying? But when you hit that sweet spot on that bat, oh, man, that ball just takes off, you know? I feel like that's what we're doing this morning. We're hitting that sweet spot where God's going to release these things into the earth, release things into our lives. Amen? Praise God. I mean, we should be sick and tired of being sick and tired in a good sense. You see what I'm saying? You know, the Bible says, surely oppression will make a wise man mad. In other words, when oppression shows up, we should get ticked off at it. So, oh, no, you don't. That curse, you ain't coming to my house. That snake isn't coming to my house. Now, look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23. Peter, you know, one of the closest apostles to Jesus, said this verse in verse 23, being born again, say born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word, notice this, the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now, you've seen natural seeds. I've seen pumpkin seeds, watermelon seeds, apple seeds, pear seeds. Now, some seeds are bigger than others, of course. You know, avocado seed, big. You know what I'm saying? Plum seeds, right? Strawberry seeds. Like I said, some seeds are bigger than others, right? These are all seeds, but they are corruptible seeds. Now, you know, interestingly enough, a few years back, I was watching this particular channel, you know, and it was about Egypt, you know, in the pharaohs and the tombs and the pyramids, and they broke through one of these. I think his name was Howard Carter. I think his name was. He actually broke into one of the tombs. I think it was King Tut. Okay, broke into Mr. Tut's tomb, and of course he'd been there for like 4,500 years or whatever, you know. And you know, their belief system back then was that you took all your goods with you. So when they would bury them in their chambers, all their stuff would go with them, all their chariots, you name it, all their belongings, because they thought they could take that with them. Boy, were they wrong, huh? And so, you know, one of the things they found, among other things, you know, and I mean stuff that's perfectly intact, chariot wheels that are 4,500 years old that are still there from their chariot. And so there was seeds of different things that were there. And I can't remember, I think it was corn seed actually, you know, and he took, so they found these clay jars that had been there thousands of years. And they took some of the seed, the corn seed, and they planted it and it produced. Right? Think about that. I thought, that's amazing. Can you imagine eating an ear of corn from? Yeah. You know. Now here's the thing. We call that seed, but it, you know what? It's corruptible seed. I can take watermelon seeds, pumpkin seeds, and you can get to the point where you can grind them and destroy them to the point where they will not produce. In other words, that corruptible seed was destroyed, and even if you put it in the ground, if it's powder, it's not going to produce. The seed has to be intact. That's the corruptible seed. But Paul or Peter says right here, we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible seed, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. One preacher said, we call this my bag of seed. The Bible. I think Creflo Dollar said that originally. He said, this is my bag of seed. Isn't that right, Eleanor? Remember him saying that? I thought, I get that. That's a bag of seed, you know. And we got all these exceeding great and precious promises that are in here. They're words which are seeds, but those seeds, in order to be planted, have to be spoken to be produced. Here's the last scripture here, real quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you go there with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So 2025 are the days of glory, of manifestation of His goodness on our behalf. Praise God. And like I said, what the Lord said last year will be a year of wholeness and completeness. The Lord said that doesn't stop because the calendar year changes. He said it'll continue into next year. Wholeness and completeness. Thank you, Lord God. Thank God there's no shelf life for the promises. Amen. But again, I'm referring to this thing. He said, you have to declare it. He said, the days of glory, that's my will. Or 2025. He says, but I want you to decree it and declare it on a daily basis. Get busy doing that. And then what's going to happen? Well, praise the Lord. 1 Peter 1:23, we just saw there that the Word, you know, being born again, not of corruptible but incorruptible seed by the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. So we can come to this conclusion, in conclusion today, that the Word of God is a seed, but it's an incorruptible seed. It's a seed, but you can't see it. But it's still a seed. Right? Do you know how small you are when you were conceived? Only a microscope could see it. When the sperm and the egg came together, you know how small that is? Your natural eye can't see that. But God does. Nonetheless, it's a seed. We all started out pretty small, didn't we? We beat the odds, didn't we? Praise God. Now, the Word is the incorruptible seed. Now, notice what Paul said in 1 Corinthians in conclusion today. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6, it says, now Paul said this, I have planted, Apollos has watered, but God gave the increase. Then finally he said in verse 7, so neither is he that planteth anything, neither is he that watereth, but God giveth the increase. Now, I heard it said like this years ago. Brother Hagin said it like this. He says, when you first hear a truth, it's a seed. He said, the next time you hear the same truth, you're watering the seed. Okay? So Paul said, look, I planted the seed. I was the apostle here. We started this thing. In other words, I planted the seed, but then here comes Apollos, who's a teacher and a prophet. He comes along preaching the same basic truths what Paul preached. Now he's watering the seed. So it's not just planting the seed that brings a harvest. It's watering the seed. You need both. You need the seed first, but then you need the seed to be watered. Okay? And That's where the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing, watering the seed. And then it says, then God will bring forth the increase. Amen. You know, I love, we don't have time, but if you go back to, Mark's gospel, where, about the parable of the sower, Jesus referred to the farmer. He says he plants the seed and gets up in the morning. The seed grows, but he doesn't know how. I'm just going to plant the seed. I know it's going to work. Now, it's interesting. When you plant a natural seed, initially you put it underground. It's out of your sight, but it's not out of your life. It's just temporarily out of sight. But it comes back in a different form, and it comes back stronger. I mean, you plant, for example, an apple seed. They're tiny. They're pretty small, regardless of the type of apple it is. But if you take one apple seed and you plant that in the ground, not only are you going to get a tree back, you're going to get a tree that has many more apples and many more seeds. Eventually, you could feed a whole entire nation out of one seed. That's amazing, isn't it? The power of a seed. Praise God. Now, in this case, we're talking about, the Word of God. When the Lord said 2025 will be a year of manifested glory, of His provision, of His goodness, when Moses wanted to see God, he says, he says, show me your glory. And he says, I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you. So his glory and his goodness are all connected. This is the year, 2025, where God wants to show up on your behalf because he loves you. Isn't that right, brother? Because he loves you. Because he cares for you. Everything he wants to do for us and for his children is because he loves us. He loves us way more than any human could. Way more. He loves us with that kind of intensity. Wow. Glory to God. Amen. So I want you to say this with me. Say it out loud. Say it boldly. Say, Heavenly Father. As I've heard your word this morning, that you desire your glory and your goodness to be made manifest on my behalf. I say, be it unto me according to your word. I declare and I decree the glory of God, the goodness of God. Come to me, my household, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And so, Lord, we will do this. We will take it up as a godly project on a daily basis. And throughout the day, you'll remind us, oh yeah, declare that. I declare. You could be driving down the road. You could be walking, taking a walk. You could be walking your dog, whatever. You could be doing your thing. And you just say, open your mouth and say, I decree and declare the glory of God, the goodness of God to come to me. You can say it over every area of your life. Just tailor make it how you'd want to say it. What do you desire? You tailor make it the way you want. But the essence of it is saying, I'm decreeing the goodness and the glory of God to come. Praise the Lord. And what will happen is the angels will take those words that you just said and you just declared, and they will rush to bring and change and alter and rearrange things to bring that to pass on your behalf. Amen. Praise the Lord. No, it's not your job. It's not my job to mentally figure out, Lord, how are you going to do that? How are you going to change that person's heart? How are you going to do this? That's not our job. That's the job of Jehovah. That's the job of our Father. We don't take His place. We have our part. Yes, we have our part. We declare, we decree what the Word of God says. Now it's God's job to be a performer of those things. The Lord, the angel even said to Mary, said, there shall be a performance of those things that you believe. There shall be a performance. In other words, what you said, it's going to come to pass. When she said, be it unto me according to thy word, that did come to pass. And she conceived the word. And you and I are a product of that. Think about what Mary did. We're all byproducts of what she said. We're born again today because of what Mary did. Now, we give all the glory to Jesus. He's our Savior. But Mary had a part. And her part was to receive the seed and declare it. Yes, be it unto me, Lord. She was just simple enough to say, yes, I can't figure that out, but go ahead, do it. And it came to pass. Amen. Let's just thank Him right now. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name, the Most High God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Did not I say in my word, trust in me with all of your heart and do not lean to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me and I will direct your path. When it comes to receiving from me, saith the Lord, allow not your mind to get involved where it raises questions on your behalf. But allow a simple childlike faith to rise up inside your heart and leave all the details to me, saith the Lord. Your job is just to believe what I say and declare what I say, and I will do the hard part. I will bring to pass those things that you have decreed and declared. And when it comes to pass, and when that miracle takes place, you know where it came from, and all the glory will go back unto me, saith the Lord. So get busy asking, for you're my child. I'm your Father, and I desire to do good and great things for you. So get busy asking me, declaring to me, and surely I will look down and smile upon you and cause my face to shine upon you, and you will see my goodness. You will see my glory, for it shall be made manifest first in the spirit realm, but it'll be manifest fully in the natural realm where you can feel it, taste it, touch it, smell it, and perceive it with your five senses, saith the Lord. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And just as a babe leapt in the womb of Elizabeth as a sign that something is about to be born, I will show you things in your spirit. You may not see it yet, but you'll see and you'll have inklings of miracles beginning to take place. And I'll cause, as it were, your womb to leap for joy. You'll see things in your spirit before your natural eyes see it. But go ahead and rejoice. Be glad. Rejoice. And allow your faith to run its full course. And you'll not be barren nor unfruitful in anything that you ask for, saith the Lord.